Hello, everyone. You are on with John. There are a few things I want to get to, so we're going to jump right in here. And my first topic is about Joe Biden. And I know I've been talking about him a lot, but he has been in the news a lot, so I'm going to talk about it. The latest news surrounding Joe Biden is he was on the radio show The Breakfast Club, which is a very popular radio show, especially among black millennials. And one of the hosts was interviewing Joe Biden, and he was asking, they were talking about the election and the choice between Donald Trump and Joe Biden when it comes to the black vote. And Joe Biden made a comment, and his comment was, and I quote, "If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black," end quote. That comment right there sparked a lot of, I mean, honestly, a lot of outrage from Republicans and just a lot of, I don't even know what the word is. It caused kind of an uproar. And that happened, I think that was yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday that Joe Biden was on The Breakfast Club. And then today, Joe Biden released a statement that I guess is an apology. I don't consider this an apology, but here's what he said. And this is also a quote. He said, "I shouldn't have been such a wise guy. I shouldn't have been so cavalier," end quote. Now, I mean, not really an apology, but there are some people who had no problem with his comment at all. You know, there are some people who believe that as any person of color, Donald Trump should not be your choice for president. There are just some people who believe that. I'm not saying I believe that, but there are some people who believe that. There are also some people who believe that Joe Biden is a racist. And those people hearing this comment, that just confirms their beliefs that they already had about Joe Biden. You know, anyone who thinks Joe Biden is racist, which there are people who think that, this comment just confirms that for them. You know, this just makes Joe Biden even more racist. There are people on the other side who think Donald Trump is a racist because of things he has said. And no matter what anyone says about him or to them, Donald Trump is a racist in their eyes. And any comment he makes will be perceived as racist. And so, sorry, a motorcycle just drove by and I didn't want to have to talk over it. So my point is there are people on both sides who think, or there are people who think Donald Trump is a racist, and there are people who think Joe Biden is a racist. And pretty much those people have their minds made up. No matter what you say to either side, their mind is made up. You're not going to change their beliefs about Donald Trump or about Joe Biden. But this comment that Joe Biden made, again, I'm not calling him a racist. I'm also not calling Donald Trump a racist. But I do think both of these men, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, are older white men in their 70s who have a very specific life experience. And neither of them have ever lived or gone outside of that lived experience. And most people don't. Most people, their lived experience is their lived experience. You know, where they're born, how they grow up, how they were raised. People don't have control over that. Joe Biden and Donald Trump have no control over the fact that they are straight white men. There's no problem with being those things, but neither of these men, as far as I'm concerned, can relate to black people or can relate to Hispanic people or can relate to gay people or can relate to women. You know, these are two men who only know how to be straight white men, and they are from a generation where their views on race are questionable, both of them. And this is exactly why young people are not excited for Joe Biden or for Donald Trump, Because I have talked to people in my age group. I am in my 20s. And the trend I've noticed when I talk to other people my age is that we don't seem to be very committed to one party or the other. What I'm noticing within my age group is that we, from the people I'm talking to, at least, I don't want to speak for my entire age group, but from the people I'm speaking with, we all seem to be very independent thinkers who actually have been doing our research, who have actually been listening to what the candidates say, and we care less about whether someone's a Democrat or a Republican, and we care more about what they do, what they say, how they say they're going to get things done, and whether or not they have gotten things done. So whenever I talk to other people my age about this and about the upcoming election, I'm going to go ahead and say 99% of the people I talk to don't want to vote for Joe Biden, and they don't want to vote for Donald Trump. For people in my age group, it goes far beyond Democrat and Republican. And right now we're at a point in this country where everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people tend to run to their corner and defend the beliefs of the party over things that they might even believe personally that goes against their own party. You know, we have a very strong divide along political party lines right now. And the one thing that I am hopeful about is that the people in my age group, again, from the people I've spoken to, really seem to be thinking for themselves, and they're not just touting the party lines and, you know, spewing out talking points just to be right. You know, the people I talk to are more about trying to figure out how to move the country forward. And that's another reason why, and this is, I'm going off on a little tangent here, but this is another reason why I get very annoyed about older generations constantly picking on millennials, because I am a millennial. The people I talk to are millennials. And the older generations, some people in the older generations have it in their mind that millennials are these kids doing TikTok dances and eating Tide Pods. That's not millennials. That's the generation below me. The millennials are literally trying to figure out what to do to make our country better next. Because I don't know if anyone's noticed, but we're not in a great spot right now. So most of the people I talk to that are millennials are more focused on actually getting the country to a better place and less focused on being right. And I think that is the way to go moving forward. I think older generations and the people in charge in government need to stop being so concerned with being right and be more motivated to move this country in a better direction. Because, I mean, how long can this divisiveness last? How long can people be angry with each other all the time just for having different points of view? I mean, that is what makes this country, is that we get to have different points of view and we get to talk about them without repercussions. So I don't know how or why we got to this place of everyone being so angry all the time about everything and not being able to talk about it. But I am hopeful because the younger people in my generation that I talk to about politics, these kind of these political fights that are happening on TV are not what I'm experiencing in real life. And that makes me hopeful, because that just tells me that the loudest voices are not the majority. And I actually just got into a little discussion with someone on Twitter about this, because Meghan McCain from The View retweeted a video of someone on Fox News, a black anchor on Fox News, talking about how she was offended by Joe Biden's comments, the comment that he made about people not being black if they vote for Donald Trump. And I commented on Meghan's retweet and I said, what did I say? I said, let me just look at my tweet, actually. I don't have to paraphrase. I could just look at it. Okay. I said, if Fox wants to make a big deal out of this, they need to go back and make a big deal out of all of the offhanded comments Trump has made. We could do this back and forth all day. Hypocrisy looks ugly on anyone. And that is something that I truly believe. You know, I am not trying to take one side over the other, but we truly can go back and forth all day about Joe Biden said this. Well, you know what? Donald Trump said this. But you know what? Joe Biden also said this. But wait, Donald Trump also said this. Like, we could do that all day long. There is enough. I mean, these men are in their 70s. We have a pretty good chunk of time to work with to find things that each of these men has said that has been, you know, not great. But how long can we actually do that until we do something about it? You know, that's why the back and forth just has to stop. You know, and the, you know, like I was saying, this country is great because you get to voice your opinions without the fear of being jailed or being killed. You know, that is one of the joys of living in this country. And sorry, I'm just looking at my notes here just to make sure I'm not getting too far off topic. Yeah, okay, we're good. So, like I was saying, this country is great because you get to voice your opinion without facing consequences, usually, unless something you said is harmful to someone else, then maybe, but we're not going to go down that road right now. My point is, healthy criticism of any president is fair, and the right to do so is part of what makes America the great country that it always has been. But I have to say, the obsession with reporting every single thing Donald Trump says or does is not helping move the country forward. It is not helping anyone. And on that same note, picking apart every single thing Joe Biden has ever said or done is not helpful either. I get that these two men are running for the highest office in the country, and they need to be vetted, and their feet need to be held to the fire, and they need to be held accountable for the things they've said and done. That being said, we cannot pick apart every little thing they have said and done. You know, like I said, these men are in their 70s. They've done a lot. They've said a lot. A lot of what they've done and said has probably not been great through the lens of a millennial in 2020. But this is where we're at. These are the guys we have. These are our options. And if we're going to save our sanity as Americans, I think the news shows and journalists need to just get back to reporting the things that matter and the things that are going to make a difference in our day-to-day lives. Because like I said, I think in my last episode, I miss having a president that we don't have to worry about, that we don't have to think about. You know, to be fair, I'm young. Technically, President Obama is the first president that I can fully remember, but I was alive for George W. Bush, the second one, and I was alive for President Clinton. But I just want to get back to not having to think about what my president did or said. And I think while part of that is definitely on Donald Trump for purposely saying and doing outrageous things to get the free press coverage that he gets, another part of it is also on the media for taking the bait. And I am a firm believer in free speech and free press, and I am not okay with the whole fake news thing that Donald Trump started. I am not okay with him trying to take all of the checks and balances of the American political system away. I'm not fond of that at all. So I'm not trying to say that the media is fake news. I'm not jumping on that train. That's not what my point is. My point is, I think there's enough blame to go around for the media and for Donald Trump, for the news cycle just being a bunch of nonsense. You know, sure, Donald Trump needs to start acting like a president, which, I mean, it's kind of late now, but he needs to start acting like a president and saying and doing things that are not so outrageous that the media can't report on it. And the media needs to stop looking for little things to report on. Tell me the important things that affect me and my family and the people I care about, and then go away. That is what the news is there for. I am sick of the extremes on both sides constantly fighting, because I truly believe most Americans fall somewhere in between CNN and Fox News. I don't believe that all liberals are like the liberals you see on CNN. I don't believe all Republicans are like the Republicans you see on Fox News. I think those are the extremes on both sides, and I think both of them are doing a disservice to our country as a whole. You know, Chris Cuomo joking around with his brother Andrew Cuomo on CNN while so many people in New York have lost loved ones is not what I want to see when I turn on the news. Sure, it's cute that they're brothers and that they poke fun at each other, and I get that we need moments of levity, but save that for your living room. I mean, I'm sorry. Save it for your living room, Cuomo brothers. We don't need to see it. And I know that's not a popular opinion, but we are in the middle of a pandemic, okay? So let's not forget that. We are in the middle of a pandemic. We need strictly hard news. We need to know the information. We need to know the truth. We need to hear from doctors. And we need the nonsense fighting to stop. I am over it. I am over it with CNN. I am over it with MSNBC. I am over it with Fox News. All of them. The extremes on both sides have gotten to the point where it's ridiculous. And I don't see how anybody can be so loyal to either side. I've gotten to the point where I need to be an independent thinker. And I think most people in my age group, like I was talking about earlier, I think most people, most millennials, need to be independent thinkers because we see right through all of this. We see what's happening with the fans of CNN and the fans of Fox News. They're both running to their corners wanting to be right. But wanting to be right has not done anything to help our country. Wanting to be right has done nothing to help us in our personal lives. If anything, it's done the opposite. It's hurt us in our personal lives. People can't have conversations anymore. But you know what? After this pandemic, I think people are going to realize, hopefully, that we need to talk to each other. We need to be able to have conversations again. We need to be able to work through things with people we disagree with. And we used to be able to do it. And sure, the tone is set at the top. Like I said, Donald Trump needs to behave himself. But even though the tone is set at the top, we don't have to follow along. That is our choice. If we as Americans decide to respect each other and to have actual productive conversations again, the government can't turn us against each other. It's up to us to remain the United States of America. Because honestly, right now, it doesn't feel like it. I'm sure it will. I'm sure we will recover. I'm sure we will get back to a place of respect and civility and just basic human decency. I'm sure we'll get there. And to be quite honest, I'm sure my generation will have a lot to do with it, because we're looking at this mess saying, how do we make it better for ourselves? This is not the world we want to continue to live in. It's not the world we want our kids to live in. We have to change it. And that is what I am most hopeful about. That's what makes me most motivated to help this country, is that in talking with other people my age, a lot of us do seem to be on the same page. We do want things to get better, and we want the fighting, and we want the tribalism on both sides to stop, because we all see it's not helping. So if there is any light at the end of the tunnel here for me, it is that I actually have had conversations with people in my age group who I disagree with and others who I agree with. But one common denominator I've noticed is that we were able to have the conversation. And that is something not many people can do right now. But on that note, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to get some water, and I'll be right back to talk about some fun things like Khloe Kardashian's new face, Rosie O'Donnell's latest comments about The View, and an update on what I've been watching during quarantine. I'll be right back. Welcome back. So the first pop culture topic I want to get into is Khloe Kardashian's, I know I set it up as Khloe Kardashian's new face, and maybe that's not very kind. I'm not sure. I was just trying to be funny. But Khloe Kardashian posted a picture on her Instagram, and she looks fantastic. She looks beautiful, but she looks nothing like what she used to look like, and that's fine. Like, I have no issues with plastic surgery or enhancements. Like, you do you. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, live your life. I'm just talking about this because it's another thing that everyone else is talking about, and so I thought I'd give my 2 cents. I don't have much to say about it, except for the fact that she looks fantastic. She just doesn't look like her old self. But as long as she's happy, then whatever, you know? I thought she looked fine before. She looks great now. Good for her. The next thing I actually wanted to get into is Rosie O'Donnell's latest comments about The View. And obviously this topic is for my other View fans out there. So if this does not interest you, then feel free to go grab a snack or something. But recently, Rosie was on, I can't remember if it was the Howard Stern show or Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. She was on one of those shows. I think it was Howard Stern. And they were talking about The View, because obviously Rosie always gets asked about The View. And Howard Stern, just a little side note about Howard Stern, I think he's a fantastic interviewer, and he gets a lot out of people that wouldn't usually talk as much as they do with him. So I don't know what it is about Howard Stern, but I definitely enjoy his interviews. Rosie O'Donnell was on there talking to him, and he asked her about The View. And Rosie said, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the quote in front of me, but she said something along the lines of she doesn't watch The View anymore because she can't deal with how dumbed down it is. And she also went on to say that it feels like they're not having natural conversations. It feels more like everyone gets their 2-minute soundbite and then they move on. Now, The View is shooting from home at the moment. Each host is in their own home. And so if she's talking about right now, then yes, each person does have their 2-minute soundbite and then they move along. Excuse me. Just because of the situation we're in, it's too hard on Zoom or whatever The View hosts are using. It's too hard to have an actual conversation like The View has done for 23 years. It's just too much with people talking over each other and then the delay in the audio. You can't have the back and forth that you would have on the normal View. So if she's talking about that, then that's fair, but it's not their choice. That's just what's happening. But I think she was talking about before they were even shooting from home, and I don't agree with her there. I think what she might be perceiving as the show being less conversational is that maybe the personal relationships among the hosts are not as close as they used to be, because in the first time Rosie was there with Joy and Elizabeth and Barbara, they would like hang out all the time after the show, you know, Elizabeth and Rosie until their big blow-up fight, which ironically, I think, yeah, Today is the 13-year anniversary of the Rosie O'Donnell, Elizabeth Hasselbeck split-screen fight. So what a day for me to be recording an episode. I feel honored. But back in those days, before the big fight, Rosie and Elizabeth would hang out after the show. They went Christmas shopping together. They went to Broadway shows together. Joy and Elizabeth and Barbara had all been working on that show together for like 10 years already at that time. So the hosts were a lot closer. And when you're having discussions about hot topics like politics or religion or social issues, it's easier for it to be conversational when you're talking to a group of friends. Whereas if you're thrown at a table with people you are acquaintances with, you might be more careful in how you approach conversations. And I think that's where the view is at right now. I mean, yeah, Whoopi and Joy know each other and are comfortable with each other, but Sonny's been there for 4 years. Megan's been there for 3. And it's just not the same as, you know, sitting at that table together for 10 years or sitting with the same group of people for 5 years. You know, it's different. So maybe that's what Rosie's talking about when she says that it's less conversational. But as far as I'm concerned, when the show was still happening in the studio, it was still The View that we know and love. So I'm not sure what she means there. I don't know why. I like Rosie. I really do like Rosie. But I don't know why she always feels the need to trash The View when she's not on it. You know, just, it was your job. It didn't work out. Move along. Stop complaining about it. Stop saying things about it. And same with Megan, who is, weirdly enough, she makes comments about the show while she's on the show. You know, I don't know what it is about Megan. Again, I'm going off on a little tangent here, but she seems to be, she has no fear of authority, it seems. You know, even though she has said she feels like she goes in every day and she could be fired, she doesn't act that way at all. She acts like her job is in the bag no matter what, which I find very strange because until then, the only other host who would really... Actually, no. No hosts have ever been so open about The View while they're on The View. They always open up about it afterwards, but Megan's the only one I've ever experienced who really lets some secrets out while she's on the show, and it's usually when she goes on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. So, yeah, that was a little tangent, but I don't know. She is Megan McCain, a brave girl. And yeah, as for Rosie O'Donnell, I don't know why she has to constantly make comments. You know, just you are a star in your own right. Just go on and do you, Rosie. And now, finally, on to what's John watching. I guess that's what I'll call this little segment, is what's John watching. And right now, it's during quarantine, still. But right now, I am watching Kim's Convenience. Well, I finished Kim's Convenience on Netflix. It's a very funny comedy based around the life of this Asian family. It's just so funny. And I binge watched. Yeah, that didn't sound right for a second. I binge watched it in like 3 days. The episodes are short, but it's just a very funny show about this Asian family. And I know I'm late to the party with this one, but my best friend, Cam, who actually, I think it's time to give him a shout out. Every episode, I mean to give him a shout out and I forget. But my best friend, Cam, actually made my intro and outro music. So shout out to Cam. Love him. And he suggested I watch New Girl. And I did. I started it. It's very good. I've seen episodes here and there before, but now I've actually started watching it. And I think it's very good. I'm only on, I think, episode 4. But so far, it's pretty good. It's funny. I like the characters. I like the chemistry between the characters. I definitely... excuse me. I definitely will finish this one for sure. And finally, I watched the American Idol finale. And it was recorded. Each contestant was in their own home. The judges were in their own homes. I have to say, it was weird. You know, I know they had to do it because of the pandemic, but it doesn't work for a show like American Idol. You know, the view from home, again, it's not like the view we all know and love, but it works just fine. Everyone gets to talk about the news and they move along. American Idol from home is just weird. You know, the judges not being together and then the contestants all in their own homes. It's just like a bunch of self-tapes. I mean, I do have to say it was done technically, from the technical standpoint, it was done very well. It cannot be easy to shoot a show like American Idol or The View from home. That takes a lot of effort and a lot of talent, and the people who are doing it behind the scenes deserve so much credit for what they've done, because that could not be an easy task. But from a fan perspective, don't like American Idol from home. You know, it just turned into a bunch of self-tapes with the judges being in the audience and cheering on the contestants. You know, it was basically like the judges were each in their own homes watching YouTube videos and then clapping at the end. It was weird. But Just Sam won this season, and I'm so happy for her. She was so good. I loved her. I didn't think she was going to win, honestly, but she's very well deserving. She started off as a subway singer in New York City. She lived with her grandma. It was just the two of them. They had no money. And now she's the winner of American Idol. So that is, I loved that story. And she has a fantastic voice. And I'm so excited for her. So a good end to a weird season of American Idol. And this is the end of this episode of On With John. So thanks all for listening. And I will talk to you soon.